Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome, folks, to this very special edition of the Hagman Report. And I say special because I've got a special guest for you. Now, you've heard him and seen him before, but I've got to tell you, boy, this is something special. You know, we talk about the current state of affairs, right? What a hot mess our capital is, both chambers, the House and the Senate. You saw what happened yesterday, right, with the articles of impeachment. Okay, not since really the founding of our country has an impeachment been dismissed by the Senate. But it was yesterday against that Cuban cue ball Mayorkas, who's really destroying our country one criminal at a time. But today, you know, you ask for action. You ask for answers. You want, folks, I know, you want somebody to listen, to respond, and to be your advocate in Congress, right? That you do. I know you do. Not just talk, but action. My guest, Derek Evans, he is running for U.S. U.S. House of Representatives for the 1st District of West Virginia. And I know, and Stephanie and Aaron, I know, okay, you're in West Virginia. Look, I know we have just a whole load of listeners in West Virginia. Folks, especially in West Virginia, this is the man, this is your guy. Now, you might say, oh, I'm sick of politics, whatever. Look, no. If you want change, you want positive change, you want somebody to stand up for your Second Amendment rights, you want somebody to stand up for, to be pro-life, Derek Evans is the man. You want somebody who's been through the fires of hell because he dared exercising his God-given right of free speech and to make his sentiment known on January 6th at the Capitol. As he was invited in by police officers, he was thrown in jail for 90 days. That's right. As a political prisoner, he's been through hell and back. He knows, look, this guy is not just all talk. This man is a man of action. I'm so absolutely proud to have him with me. But before I bring him on, I want you to see this. Because when I was down in West Palm Beach in February taking care of some business, I saw this. I saw this live. And this is a minute, I think just a little over a minute in length. I saw Mr. Evans on Steve Bannon's War Room. And this one clip stuck with me. This one segment, this room stuck with me. This kind of, well, this tells me the character of my guest, Derek Evans. Okay? And folks, this and a number of other videos will be at Hagman PI in the program description at HagmanPI.com for this episode. I urge everyone to watch everyone, to share on social media. But if you're in West Virginia, you vote for this man. And if you are in West Virginia, or if you're not, support this man. He's a patriot. He's a family man. He's everything I would ever want in a member of the U.S. House of Representatives. But before I bring him on, watch this. Cut one.
Derek, let's bring you in because walk the audience through. You're running for Congress now in a primary, Republican primary in West by God, Virginia. But before then, walk through your curriculum vitae regarding this topic.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was a January 6th political prisoner. I was elected to the state house in 2020 in West Virginia. I was the first Republican to win my district in over 98 years and won a landslide. And I went to the Capitol. Peacefully and patriotically protested. It's on video. I thanked a police officer. He gives me a friendly fist bump as I'm walking through the door, and people can watch it on my social media to see it for themselves. And walked back out. The same weaponized deep state going after President Trump came to my house, ripped me away from my wife and my four young children, and threw me in prison and held me hostage as a political prisoner. But Steve, the joke's on them. I happen to live in one of the reddest districts in the country, and now I'm running for U.S. Congress because I'm going to take this battle to their front door the same way they brought it to mine.
There it is. I'm going to take this battle to their front door the same way they took it to mine. God bless this man. Derek Evans, thanks for joining me today.
Be on, Doug. Really appreciate it, man.
Man, I'll tell you what. You are making history. You've made history. And I'm very serious. You're everything that I would ever want in someone representing me in Congress. And we've got the... folks, you got to get behind this man. Again, thank you. Where do you want to start here? Because I kind of want to turn this over to you to the extent where you can tell people, you know, about yourself or whatever you want to talk about, whether it's your experience with January 6th or what your plans are when you are elected to the House, because I truly believe you will be. Especially given your history, 98 years, you were elected to the House of Delegates. Fantastic. So where do you want to start?
Well, I first want people to know, you know, that I'm a Christian, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and I love my family. It's got, you know, I'm all about God, family, and country. And so I think that's important to do. And look, I think that we're at a point in this country's history where we need everyday Americans who are frustrated with the system to step up and run for political office. And then the other thing I want people to know is this is a real campaign. I'm not, you know, I'm not just some random guy who got arrested on January 6th and decided to run for office. As you said, I was, I'm the only elected legislator in the entire country who had the courage to stand with President Trump that day and then got arrested and thrown in prison. But, you know, the American people have really rallied behind this campaign so far, as well as the people in southern West Virginia. But we've raised over $700,000. We've got over 10,000 donors. We're not bought and paid for by the military-industrial complex or the big pharma PACs or anything like that. We don't have any PAC money. It's all from just everyday Americans chipping in, you know, 50, 60 bucks here and there, $20 here and there. It's really adding up. And so we're happy with where we're at right now. We're really excited to see what happens on election day.
Man, I'll tell you what, that's the way to build, in my view, build a campaign. It's not the big dollars that you're going to be held hostage to those mega donors, the big corporations. It's the grassroots support that you've gotten, because your message resonates with people. The fact that you're a family man, and I love it. Two dogs, one Aussie Shepherd mix. God bless that man. I've got Lady the Studio Dog, you know, here. Everything about this man is what the left hates, is what the communist takeover hates. And that's why I love this guy. Seriously. And I respect this man more than I can actually, express. And that might sound hyperbolic, but I'm going to tell you what, it's the truth. And by the way, you're endorsed by, General Flynn, General Michael Flynn. That's fantastic. And I'm sure you're going to get numerous other endorsements, throughout the coming days and weeks and months.
We're currently endorsed by General Flynn, Roger Stone, Mike Lindell, Veterans for Trump, the Oil and Gas Workers Association, the Health Freedom Groups. You know, so we got a lot of support behind our campaign right now. We've got, I don't know, probably 50 to 60 volunteers who are out, you know, knocking doors and phone banking and all those things. And look, this is what I tell people. This is not my campaign. It's truly not. This is a campaign of the American people. It doesn't matter where you live across the country. If you're frustrated with the system, if you've been wanting to help send a message to the deep state, this is your opportunity to do so. I mean, the fact that you could, donate and help elect a former January 6th political prisoner into Congress, you talk about sending a message to the deep state that the American people are fed up with the current system. That would be the ultimate message to send.
Got it. Yeah. 100%. And, you know, it's difficult. Well, it's really not difficult for me to believe, but It's in 2024, here we are. Everything that we've gone through in the past 3 years has just been nothing but a nightmare. I often think about the political prisoners we have. What you went through and what the Biden regime put your family through is shameful. And it's republic ending. I believe it could lead to a number of republic ending situations, as well as the persecution of President Trump right now, the lawfare that's going on. What was that like? I just got to ask you, what the heck was that like for you? To go to the Capitol, to be invited in, you go home, what, 3 days later, you get your door bashed in. I mean, what was that like for you, your wife, your family?
Yeah, well, you know, it was frustrating because the night of January 6th, when we got back into the cell phone service, got home, I was all over the media. I was the original face of January 6th because I was an elected legislator and they were, you know, using that. And it was very frustrating the way the media was cutting the footage, making it look as if I was, you know, on the other side of the building where people were, you know, fighting with police officers and destroying things and everything. But I wasn't with that group. I was on the other side of the building, didn't know those things were taking place. And so I was very frustrated by that. So we thought maybe the FBI or somebody might would have some questions because my face was all over national TV. So I reached out and had a local attorney signed with him, and he said, you know, you haven't done anything wrong. I think you're fine, but you know, if they want to question you, we want to have this taken care of. And so he reached out to them on my behalf and said on January 7th and said, hey, if you guys want to talk to this guy, you know, he's an elected official. He's still got billboards everywhere. He's more than willing to come in and answer any questions or anything. They said, okay, thank you so much. And then the following day, they decided to raid my home and come and rip me away and from my children. What's crazy is my oldest was 5 years old at the time. My wife had just left. They knew I was home alone with my children, and that's when they decided to raid my home and come in and just absolutely traumatize my children and my family. But even then, I thought, you know, as they start investigating and looking into this, this is all going to be dropped. Like, I mean, I didn't really believe what was happening ended up happening. I never believed that was going to happen. I still had faith in the system and faith in the process for a long time. It was throughout that journey that I realized just how corrupt our court system is, our DOJ, all those things. It's a major issue in this country right now. They're expanding this beyond January 6th now. I mean, people who are praying outside of abortion clinics are being persecuted. Parents who spoke out at school board meetings are being persecuted. The guy who made memes on social media. So, I mean, they are pinning their ears back, and they are coming after conservatives across this country. I want to use my experience, what I went through, to try to prevent this from happening to other people across the country. And I think that my experience is invaluable. I could bring that to Congress. I would love to be on the weaponization of government committee and use this experience to try to prevent this from happening to other people in the future. And as you can see there on the video, I'm telling the police officer, God bless you, sir. Thank you for your service. He gives me a friendly fist bump. And for that, I was facing 24 years in prison.
24 years in prison. You were on the east side of the Capitol, I believe, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Which the west side is where everything was, if my understanding is correct, is where everything was.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. So this was really, I mean, you just went in there, spent what, 10 minutes and then,
yep.
Okay. Did nothing except enter, fist bump the officer and then came back out. And folks, by the way, go to Evans4WV, standing for West Virginia, of course, .com. Evans4WV.com. And support this man. Support this man's effort for the U.S. House, his position in the House of Representatives, because we need him in there. You know what a hot mess that place is right now. Derek Evans. And by the way, how you can help him? Hey, look, support him financially. Donate to his campaign, grassroots. You want answers? You know what? You want solutions? This is the way to do it. Wow. Okay. Now, when, and I say this because I truly believe that you will be elected. I've studied the demographics And I think you, well, I believe that based on everything I've seen. What are your plans?
Oh, this is great. This is where it gets fun. Really quick to your point, this is one of the reddest districts in the country. It's an ultra MAGA district. So whoever wins the primary wins the general election. That's the beauty of this. And the other beauty of this is I don't have to be fearful of what the federal government might do to me or what the fake news media might say about me. There's nothing they can do to me that they haven't already done. There's nothing they can say about me that they haven't already said. So we've got to start flipping our red districts red across this country. We have so many very red districts that are being occupied by rhinos right now. Imagine if we had, 70 Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene type of people in the U.S. House, what a difference that could make. We have the districts to do those things, and this is one of those districts. On day one, I'm going to file articles of impeachment against all these corrupt judges who have been weaponized against not just January 6th, but President Trump. And so I think that's the first thing we need to do. It would never, probably pass, but it would be a stain on their record and would prevent these people from becoming Supreme Court justices in the future. Could you imagine some of these people who are right now on this being weaponized judges sitting on the Supreme Court one day? That is a scary thought. We've got to do that. Look, everybody wants to talk about impeaching Mayorkas. They're about 3 years too late on that. Impeachment is way too nice for this guy. He should be in shackles facing a jury for criminal charges of treason for aiding and abetting the invasion of our country. And quite frankly, I think Fauci should be sitting right beside of him. Long story short, the federal government's too big. We got to end these three-letter unconstitutional agencies and return the power back to the states, back to the local communities, back to you and me and we the people, where there's actual accountability. Because we're not going to save this country by continuing to fund the very tyrants and the very organizations that are weaponized against us right now.
Amen, brother. All right, now to be clear, because I want people to really pay attention here, when is the West Virginia primary?
Well, early voting starts May 1st, so about 2 weeks from now, and then the actual election day is May 14th. So we're coming up. We're less than a month until election. We're having fun. When I prayed about this and decided to run, one of the things that I really wanted to do was make sure that I had fun. I've had enough stress in my life. I want to have fun and enjoy the process, let the chips fall where they may. And trust me, this was not an easy decision to run for this position. It really wasn't, especially after everything we've went through. I'm still on probation, for goodness sakes. They can still throw me in prison for things I say or do. I wanted to show the American people that I'm just an average guy who took one on the chin from the most powerful corrupt government in the history of the world. But I got up, I dusted my britches off, I'm still standing, and I'm still fighting to save this country. And if I can do that, then anyone can do that.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, exactly. And by the way, look, I know you're a busy guy, so anytime you've got a bounce for another engagement, you let me know, because I could keep you for hours just talking to you, okay? So I believe, yes, we need you on basically all of the committees, but the weaponization committee, what are your thoughts, if you don't mind me asking, about what's taking place with President Trump? Because what they're doing to him, they're going to do to all of us ultimately. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the saying that President Trump has used in the past is they're not coming after him, they're coming after us. He's just standing in the way. I think that rings more true today than it ever has. That's exactly what they're intending to do. People need to realize that if they can do this to President Trump, and they are, then they can do it to any of us. And quite frankly, that's their long-term goal. And look, I travel all across the country. I'm very blessed. I travel across the country speaking at different events about the weaponization of government and sharing my story, answering questions. So there's people out there who be interested in doing that. You can reach out to us for that as well. I was just spoken at one of the Delaware GOP conventions here recently. I've spoken at the Villages MAGA Club in Florida, Iowa. I've been all over the country. The thing that rings true is everywhere that I go, our people right now are afraid of being put on a list, and that's why they're not standing up and speaking out. My answer to that, or my response to that, is look, if we willingly give up our natural God-given rights of free speech out of fear, then we've already lost this country. It's important to remember the Constitution is not, the government is not where we get our rights from. Our rights come from a God, our creator, and the Constitution was written primarily to prevent the government from infringing on our natural God-given rights. And guess what? You are already on a list. If you go to church, you're on a list. If you purchased a Bible, you are on a list. These are all things that have been proven through congressional hearings. We know for a fact Jim Jordan put out a report in January that anyone who purchased a Bible, the government has a list of them and put them on a list and is surveilling them and watching them. You're already on a list, so embrace it, stand up, speak out, so that way our children will actually have a fighting chance to save this country in the future.
Okay. Man, it makes my brain bleed to think that purchasing a Bible would put an American citizen on any list.
Yep.
It's hard to believe. But not really. What are your thoughts too? I got to ask you this because you've had your finger on the pulse of what's going on, current events. And these might seem like random questions, but they're really not. Who in the heck is running this country? Who, seriously? Because it's not the meat puppet in the Oval Office, Biden. In your view, I'm just curious. In your view, who's really making the decisions?
Well, I think this is obviously Obama's third term is what we're dealing with right now. I mean, I think that's it rings true from day one. I mean, Obama came in and said he's going to shut down the coal industry, and he did. And then on day one, Biden shuts down the Keystone Pipeline and starts attacking our oil industry. That's what this is all about. And you got to remember that the actual definition of tyranny, based from our founding fathers, was when you have the judicial, executive, all that legislative, all under one branch, and that's what we're experiencing right now with these three letter agencies that are unconstitutional. They are creating law themselves, creating rules. They are enforcing the rules, and then they actually issue the punishment for those things as well, fines or whatever. That's the literal definition of tyranny. We live under more tyranny today than our founding fathers did in 1776.
No, amen. And yet we are less responsive to that tyranny than in 1776. To the audience listening to you specifically now in West Virginia, obviously your message would be vote for you, obviously. But do you have anything to tell the people in West Virginia? What would you say to the people listening right now? Because I know we're on a number of stations in West Virginia. I know we've got a robust audience there. What would you tell the people in your state?
Well, the first thing I would tell them and remind them is this is, once again, this is not a moderate purple district. This is one of the reddest districts in the entire country. We deserve a Freedom Caucus member such as Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Someone's going to stand on the national stage beside of President Trump and beat the drum of freedom, not only for Southern West Virginia, but for every single God-fearing conservative across this country. That's what I've been doing. That's what I'll continue to do. Our current representative right now is Congresswoman Carol Miller. She does not represent the values of this district. She's voted to force our military members to receive the COVID vaccine if they want to continue their career in the military. She's voted to fund the Green New Deal. She voted to expand taxpayer funding of abortion through Obamacare. She recently voted for the minibus bill that funded the transgender surgeries and such for and injections for children, as well as transgender housing and all these other issues that do not align with our district. And then she also just recently voted with the Democrats once again to allow this federal government to continue spying on American citizens without a warrant. This is absolutely unacceptable. We deserve a true conservative representing this district. That's what I'm going to bring to the table.
Oh, so what you're telling me is she's a Democrat, right?
Yeah, that's what I told somebody. I said, look, the term Rhino is way overused. I think the proper term to describe her would be an undocumented Democrat. You can go to search her name on the Liberty score with like a conservative review. She has a 65% Liberty score, meaning she votes with Joe Biden and the Democrats 35% of the time. This is absolutely ridiculous for one of the reddest districts in the country.
I was doing my research pre-show research, and it was hard for me to really comprehend how she could possibly justify her positions on numerous issues. But you're the real deal, and I just want to tell everyone, folks, go to Evans 4, spell out the word 4, WV. The link will be in the program description box. Evans4WV.com, and give mightily to this man. Support this man. Look at the beautiful family he's got. children. He's got a wife and four children. That's a picture of what America should be. I mean, that represents America right there. And God bless you, your family, because I know running for office, a lot of sacrifices, right? I mean, you're constantly on the road, aren't you?
And it's been a long year. Look, we announced last year, or so, because we knew we had to get ahead of things. So it's been a grind. We're coming into the home stretch here, and really excited to get to May 15th, believe it or not, and actually take a breath and relax a little bit with my children and my wife and the spouses and the families of candidates all across the country don't get enough credit really for the sacrifices that they make as well. But I also wanted to remind people too about my opponent that she also voted for red flag gun laws. And then one of the most despicable of all to me, and just really screams of corruption, is she's got 57 violations for insider stock trading. And then she's also supported all of the lockdowns during COVID. And this is really key. So she supported the lockdowns, and then her car business, they own car lots, that was considered essential. So it was considered essential to be able to go buy a brand new vehicle if you wanted to. So their car lot never shut down. But she took out a $3.1 million PPP loan, which was designed for businesses that were, shut down during COVID. She took that loan out, and then she voted to have that loan forgiven, aka the taxpayers paid that back for her. I think this whole thing is just corrupt, and it's time to replace her with a true MAGA, conservative. Look, if we had Matt Gaetz or Thomas Massie, Marjorie Taylor Greene, somebody like that representing this district, I would not be running right now. I'd be standing back, clapping and cheering and thanking that, that we have a good representative. We don't have that right now, and I didn't think there was anyone else in our district who was able to raise the money to actually put forth a good effort to unseat her the way that I've been able to do.
Wow. I saw that, and thank you, Eric Tech, for putting that up, because this is what we're fighting against, and I use we because we are the Christian conservatives who care about America, who have families, children, grandchildren, who see the future for what it is. Boy, I almost sounded like Kamala Harris there for a second. Man, you are so right in terms of what we've been through as a nation, and it's you and others like you that will bring us back. I truly believe, Dan Bongino says, I'm long on America, and I'm long on America too. As long as there are people like you and people like you in office, then we can get things done. And folks, again, Evans for, again, spell out the word for, WV.com. And make sure you donate, support this man. And if you're in West Virginia, vote for him. If you're in Virginia or other surrounding states, drive in there and vote for him. Or just drag a few illegals in there and have them cast their votes for Derek Evans. I'm serious. If the left is going to play this game, let's play the game. What's your position? By the way, great picture with President Trump. When was that taken? Can I ask?
That was taken a few days before his Georgia mugshot came out.
Okay. Wow. Fantastic. And folks, volunteer, it says right there, join our America First team, become a campaign volunteer. How are you suited for that, by the way? Because we have to take care of you and make sure you've got the resources available to you. Do you still need volunteers?
Oh, we do. And look, we have people who are phone banking all across the country, so you don't have to live in the district to make phone calls for us. And we take all the help that we can get. And we got a lot of people knocking doors and doing other things here in the district for us. And we have a great team. We have weekly calls, and we're actually ramping that up to about two times a week now. And so, we have a good time. We have fun. It's all fellow patriots who love this country and are ready to make some changes. So, yeah, head on over there and fill that out, and someone on our team will reach out to you and get you going if it's something you'd be interested in doing.
Okay. All right. I would encourage people to volunteer. You know what? If you look, the least you can do is volunteer. Okay, at the very least, because again, the future of our republic is at stake. I'm going to turn this back to you for as long as you deem required. But what is on your heart the most? You know, let me preface that question by saying this: I was watching a 1970s television show. And there was an exchange between a politician, a man running for Congress, and a detective. And let me get this right. The detective asked the man running for office a question. And the office, the man running for office, instead of answering the question, ask the detective, do you want my answer as just a normal person or a politician? To which the response was, shouldn't they be both? Or shouldn't they be the same? And I thought, what a great exchange. Because oftentimes people, you know, but what's on your heart? I mean, just whatever you feel is on your heart, because we still have hostages being held in gulags. We still have our economies in shambles, globes in chaos. What keeps you awake at night?
Well, first, I want to say that exchange you just mentioned is the perfect example of we have too many politicians in politics. We need to get American patriots, everyday Americans, to step up and start running for office. Everything from city council all the way up through the presidency. We have too many politicians in politics. That's where we get answers such as that. The other thing is, look, we're in a battle for the future of this country right now. And we're not going to save this country with a bunch of spineless jellyback rhinos. We need America First patriots to step up, run for office, get involved, and be bold. And then the other thing that I really, it's on my heart right now, it's bigger than politics. It's really just God's put on my heart right now to speak to this is, you know, in a weird way, I get emotional thinking about it. In a really weird way, I'm thankful for the experience that I went through, because the closest I've ever been to God was during those 8 days of solitary confinement. They threw me in solitary confinement because I refused the COVID vaccine when they took me to prison. And but that's the closest I've ever been to God. I went 5 days without a book or anything like that, because the prison was on lockdown when I first got there. And then the other thing is, you know, there was an experience I had at Mar-a-Lago, actually, standing by the pool and just got finished up with a really cool conversation with some people there. And then God was just speaking to me very clearly, and it was just so amazing. He was just reminding me that I never was alone in solitary confinement. God was with me every single moment during that ordeal, and it was so clear. You know, God was saying, you know, I've got a plan for you. And so when I travel and I speak to people, I always throw that in there and remind them, like, this is bigger than politics. Life is hard. We all go through challenges in life, and it's important for us just to remember that we're not going through any of these things alone. God understands anything and everything we could possibly face during this life. And God, there's always light at the end of the tunnel, even if we can't see it during that moment. And the other thing I'll say that's made me a better husband and made me a better father. I've got four kids, and we live busy lives, and there are always moments where your children are, you know, wanting your attention, and you're busy doing something. But I can tell you that going through this experience, not a single moment when I was in prison did I think about really anything other than wanting to get back to my wife and my children and my family and hug my kids. And so now, no matter how busy I am, when my kids ask me to play cars or color something, I might only do it for 30 seconds. I might only do it for a minute or two, but I stop what I'm doing for the most part and give them 30 seconds before I get back to my busy life, just because I know what it's like to not have that. And so I don't know why, but for whatever reason, I don't know who's out there listening to this, but God put it on my heart to share that with everyone.
Folks, now that is a man of character and integrity. That's a true man, definition of a true man, I believe, or an example, I should say, of a true man. That's your takeaway from your solitary time and your imprisonment, is the value of your wife and your children, your family life. I love it. What do you think – There's that Fisher ruling going before the Supreme Court, and it has to do, obviously, with 80% of the case against Donald Trump, but it also impacts the charges against some, not all, of the J6 hostages. I refuse to say prisoners, but hostages. Do you know anything about that? Okay. Do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, so this is regarding the 1512 obstruction of the official proceeding. And so before I get into that, I really want to quickly cliff note version to the audience what that is. So the 1512 obstruction of official proceeding, this was created during the early 2000s after like the insider bank trading, Enron and all those things. What was happening is as people were coming to testify before Congress, people were tampering with those witnesses. They were either threatening them, they were bribing them, they were, you know, whatever they were doing, they were tampering with those witnesses. So they created this code 1512 obstruction of an official proceeding by way of tampering with a witness. The title of it is tampering with a witness, and then 1512 falls underneath of that. No one on January 6th tampered with a witness, but the federal government and the DOJ are so weaponized, they grabbed this, threw it against the wall, charged all kinds of January 6th defendants with this charge because of the term obstruction of official proceeding. They were claiming this was an official proceeding, and that comes with a 20-year felony. I was facing that charge as well. That's where 20 of my 24 years I was facing in prison, not counting the terrorist enhancements that they were threatening with people at that same time as well. But that's a whole other story. But so this has made its way to the Supreme Court now. The Supreme Court, they just, argued this in front of the Supreme Court yesterday or the day before. We're excited to hear the ruling on this. We are confident that the Supreme Court's going to throw this out. When that happens, there will be a lot of people who will get out of prison because they're of time served, because this, with that charge, they are having to spend much longer in prison than they would be for simple misdemeanor trespassing charges. And then I'm really curious to see people who pled to a different charge, such as myself, if we will have repercussions on that, because the reason we did that was that they were basically holding the 20-year felony over our heads, which really led to the decision of many people to take a plea deal for something else, because you know you have families and everything else, and you don't want to go to prison for years over something you're ready to move on with your life. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. We're really excited in the January 6th community. Whether it helps me or anyone who's already out or not, that doesn't matter to me as much as getting the people who are in there right now, getting them home back to their families, and getting these 20-year felonies dropped from the future.
Amen. And folks, it's amazing. Well, not amazing. It's great to talk with someone who knows exactly what 1512, all about 1512 and what's going on. And I would expect a decision, mid, late January from the Supreme Court, which could really upset the apple cart with Jack Smith and again, the political prisoners in D.C. Is that about right? Mid to late January before the or June before they leave?
That's what we're thinking as well. We're not 100% sure. Obviously, Supreme Court can do whatever they want. There's no, I guess, official rules. But we're expecting sometime over the summer to hear an official ruling on that. It's going to be a huge win if it happens. You know, for the January 6th community, there are countless people who are sitting in prison right now on that specific charge, and it is 100% unconstitutional. One judge actually threw it out, ruled that it was unconstitutional. There's other issues with it as well, in terms of some of the wording that they used during that, that will be another appeal if this one doesn't win through. But we're really confident that that the Supreme Court's going to get this correct, and they're going to throw this charge out. And so we're praying for a positive outcome.
Amen. And you know what, folks, like her or don't like her, doesn't matter. Sidney Powell wrote License to Lie, and that she really addressed the Enron issue. It's not what you think it is, folks. Okay. Believe me, wow. Just you talk about some big issues. It's a good book. I would urge people to read that. But my guest, my very special guest, is Derek Evans, Evans for WV.com, standing for, of course, West Virginia. Evans for WV.com. Please go there. Please donate. Please support. If you live in West Virginia, please vote for him. If you don't, drag a few illegals over into West Virginia, vote for him. That's right. Okay. I'm making funny. You're going
to. I tell my wife all the time when I die, don't let me vote Democrat.
I love it. And you know, right now I think we can talk like this without getting thrown in jail. Or at least, you know, I do, but, I'll tell you, it's getting scary out there with this weaponization. Yep. It really is. And you're going to work to resolve that through, you're going to work to de-weaponize the Department of Justice and bring justice back to the Department of Justice. And I love that about you. Do you have a second to talk about the scaffold man? Because do you have any time to talk about that?
I have about 5 minutes left before I go to get to my next interview, but yeah, let's do it.
All right. I'm not even sure. Did I provide you with that? The man on the scaffold. Just go ahead and tell people, and Eric the Tech will find the image or find the picture.
You can go to j6footage.org to find the footage of this. Look, there was a guy on January. So as I told you guys earlier, I travel all over the country sharing my story. After every time I speak, people come up to me and they'll either. They either tell me that they were there at the Capitol on January 6th or a family member, and they usually have some photos or footage to show me. And, you know, most of the time I've seen it, but, you know, I don't really say that. I just thank them. But this person comes up to me and says, "Hey, have you seen the footage of this man firing a weapon on January 6th?" I said, "No, I honestly didn't really believe him." And then this person showed me the footage of that. And I said, "Man, can you get this to me?" And, you know, he was scared to death to do it, but, you know, I assured him that we wouldn't, you know, include anything to do with this person. And so they sent me the footage, and we sifted through it, and we ended up releasing that footage to the public. NBC, there it is. That's a still image of it there, firing a gun on the scaffolding. This guy was also, Emmanuel Benuelos is his name. He was later charged with or arrested, I should say, for stabbing a person and killing them. I think those charges ended up being dropped. I'm not 100% sure what happened with that. But during that testimony, he told them, "Hey, I'm the guy that was at the Capitol on January 6th with a gun. I'm surprised the FBI hasn't got me already." NBC had done an article prior to that showing him with the gun, not in this footage. He had different clothes on at the time. It was just in his waistband. And nothing was done about him. After I released the footage, it was confirmed by NBC, who is fake news, by the way, but they did confirm on this that the government had this footage in their possession on the CCT footage for over 3 years, and they never once charged this guy. Now, the reason this is important context as well is there have been multiple January 6th defendants who have been charged with having weapons on Capitol grounds for simply one person had a walking stick and they said it was a weapon. Little things like that. So they really did all they could to get as many people on quote unquote weapons charges surrounding the Capitol. But you have a guy that they had on footage firing off a gun and they never charged him. It is our belief that he is. That's the image right there that they had that over a year or two ago. And they never charged this guy. I mean, that alone, by their standards, should have been led to an arrest. And so I'm not saying that he is a federal agent or federal provocateur, but I think it's a fair question to ask at this point why they were not arresting him. And after we released this footage, got it out there, got a lot of coverage, he has been arrested. And so part of me thinks that he is a federal agent or provocateur, and at least I think it's a fair question to ask. And the other part of me thinks that maybe they were going to try to wait till around October to arrest him for a little October surprise to try to hurt President Trump. Either way, we threw a wrench in their plans by getting this footage out there to for the world to see. And this is just further proof and evidence that the U.S. House needs to release, Speaker Johnson needs to release all 44,000 hours of January 6th footage, unredacted, unedited, to the public for everyone to see and watch it for themselves.
Derek Evans, you're the man. I want to be respectful of your time and let you go. I just want to say thank you. As a matter of fact, I may be talking to some people today. I know that would want to help you. They'll volunteer for you. And certainly, although I rarely donate to campaigns, I'm going to be supporting you. And if I lived in West Virginia, I'd be voting for you. Unfortunately, I don't, but I do know some people there, and you've got their votes. I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for being the man who you are and being a role model for every man in America. At least that's the way it should be. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it more than you know. God bless you guys.
God bless you. Thank you. Folks, that was Derek Evans. Evans for WV.com. You know, we have to be, as Christians, as conservatives, I believe we have to pick the, latch on to, support those people who will support us. This man has no, he knows he serves the people. He knows that our rights come from God, not from man. And, you know, he spent time for standing up for what he believes in. He was in prison. He's on probation. Could you handle that? I often ask myself, you know, how much can I possibly handle? Could I handle that? I'm sure, you know, given that, how would you not handle that? You don't have a choice, right? So you have to reach in into yourselves. And this to me is more of a life lesson than anything else. You know, I used the phrase last week, when you're going through hell, don't stop, paraphrasing or quoting Winston Churchill. But Derek Evans is the kind of guy that will get things done. So again, if you're listening to me in West Virginia, please reach out to Derek Evans. And you know what? Tell him. Say, I saw you. I heard you on the Hagman Report. Why? Because the more people hear that, the bigger we all can grow. I'm serious. Now, Scaffold Man. Folks, I talked about this before. Darren Beatty, Revolver.News, has been all over this. And it surprised me, because in advance of this show, I was talking to some people about this man who fired a gun on January 6th. And this is, what are you talking about? You mean the officer who shot Ashley? And I said, no. The guy on the scaffolding. And they said, what are you talking about? This is one of the most repressed stories. And the mainstream, lamestream, lion-ass media, they don't want you to see this. So watch this. Watch this. This is actually from the J6 footage, narrated by Derek Evans. Okay, now it's, I don't know exactly how long it is. It's okay, thank you, Eric the Tech, 5 minutes. But it's an important 5 minutes, because if we, there are a couple of things about January 6th, if we are to have answers to, without whistleblowers, okay? Those two things are going to be, number one, the pipe bombs, although we will probably need a whistleblower there. And number two, this guy, this man, and this incident. So watch this, because chances are you may have not seen this before, unless you caught one of my earlier shows about J6 and talking about, and in fact, I pulled the same video, I believe, from Revolver.News, or connected to Revolver.News, but watch this. This is incredible. Here it is.
The gunshot that started it all. 3 years of fake news and talk of insurrection, thousands of arrests, hundreds still in prison, countless families destroyed, more lives lost, a judiciary system that is completely broken, all aimed at one man, but it was all kicked off by one shot. Well, two. Now let's actually cut to the footage and cut to the video of the guy firing off his handgun on January 6th. All right, so what we're looking at here is a video taken from the west lawn of the Capitol building. You know, after 3 years of breathless coverage by the mainstream media, preemptively convicting every single person who just happened to step on the lawn, they try to preemptively convict them of felonies before their trials. You would think that, you know, you would have seen or heard about this footage you're getting ready to see. And what we have here is a footage of an unknown agitator or infiltrator of some sort who is firing off a pistol in the air in front of everyone. The video is about 3 minutes in duration and was taken at almost exactly 2:30 p.m. in the afternoon on January 6th. We have the full video footage up over at j6footage.org for you to see it for yourself, j6footage.org. At the outset of the video, you can see that the crowd is peaceful. There are no fights and there's no damage to property. There are some protesters climbing scaffolding to wave flags and basically make their voices heard. And you'll note that once they get up on the top of the scaffolding, they stay there. And that's important context for the rest of this video, because this kind of goes on for about a minute and a half. And once again, you can watch all of this over at j6footage.org. But for now, I'm going to fast forward here to the at about the 1 minute and 24-25 second mark, a Hispanic male on the younger side decides to scale the scaffolding, turns around, brandishes a firearm, aims the firearm into the sky, and fires off 2 rounds. Let's roll the tape. Did you all see that? Let's rewind it and watch again. Now, I don't know about you, but that looks and sounds to me like a guy who is very clearly firing off 2 rounds of some sort of revolver. I don't know if it's a 38, a 45, 22. I don't know any of that. I can't tell that much. You know, definitely a revolver, and they're definitely firing it off. I think it's pretty clear. Now, let's go back and let's see where this individual came from. All right, we first see our perp here. He's climbing the scaffolding right at the 1 minute mark as the camera pans over to the south side of the Capitol. We see him again at about the 106 minute mark. He's finishing his climb up to the perch where he ends up firing the gun from. Then the camera pans away and we don't see our perp again until just before he fires 2 rounds into the air, right here. And here he is firing off 2 rounds. Now you can see him begin to holster the firearm, and then very interestingly, to me anyways, he climbs right back down from the scaffolding. So he wasn't up there to protest or like everyone else or any of those things. Once again, everybody else climbs up there, stays up there, and continues waving their flags. He climbs up, fires off the gun, and then climbs right back down. So he was up there, in my opinion, for a very specific purpose of firing off those 2 rounds. And you want to know what the really crazy thing about all this footage? Within 1 minute of these 2 rounds being fired off, that is when the pepper spray begins to be fired on the protesters in this location. We'll get to that in a minute. And of course, you can go watch the whole video over at j6footage.org. But there are a few things that stand out here I want to really go over. First, as I mentioned, this guy just climbs right back down the scaffolding. Why does he hang out there to protest? I mean, here's a protester, right? I mean, if he's there to protest, why is he not staying up there and continue to protest? So here he goes, beginning to climb back down. He continues to dismount. And then he's gone. After 2 minutes and 15 seconds timestamp on this video, we don't see this person again. I'm January 6th political prisoner Derek Evans. We can't get this footage out and shine a spotlight on the corrupt Biden administration and deep state without your help. Please consider chipping in today and help us get the word out so that we can shine some truth on this and help get our fellow January 6th political prisoners released from prison and get this footage out so we can find the truth about that day. So thank you guys for watching. Have a great day.
And that, the reason I wanted people to see that is perhaps you've never seen that before. Make sure you visit that website that was at the top of the video. I'm telling you, there's a lot there. you know, they've only released, even under Speaker Johnson, they've only released like 21,000 hours of 44,000 hours of the video from January 6th. What are they? Why? Just give it all to us. Give it all to us. Let us see it. Let us make our own decisions. Let us go through it. I'm telling you, that's what we need to do. I found something that I thought was absolutely hilarious. In fact, I posted it on my social media account on X. you have to hear it or see it or both, hopefully, to really understand or to really appreciate it. This is an ad for Joe Biden, who is Pittsburgh. If you know, you know, right? Who is Pittsburgh? Who can't even draw a crowd at a Sheetz, and what Sheetz is, in at least in this part of the country. No, I'm not being racist. What Sheetz is like a mini mart convenience store, or as Joe Biden would call it, a bodega. How did she pronounce that? Bidigo. Yeah, no, it's actually with gas pumps, by the way. But Sheetz is they've got numerous Sheetz stores. It's like a 7-Eleven with food and stuff. But anyway, he couldn't even draw a crowd there in Pittsburgh yesterday, or 2 days ago, or whenever it was, this week. Days all run together. Folks, watch this. I don't care who you are. This is great. Watch this.
Look, I'm not a young guy. That's no secret. But here's the deal. I understand how to get things done for the illegal aliens. I encourage the surge of illegals at the U.S. border.
I would, in fact, make sure that we immediately surge to the border.
I got it done. You know how I know the border's wide open? I sent my girl Kamala to take care of it.
Do not come. Do not come.
I believe the job of the president is to fight for you, the foreign invaders. And that's what I'm doing. I'm a complete dipshit, and I approve this message.
Would you think, Eric the Tech, would you think of that?
It's pretty good.
I'm going to tell you, you could have stopped after Harris made her statement there, brilliant statement. No. Don't give me your righteous... Boy, that was bad. Just ask Willie Brown how many times she said that to him. Again, don't. Folks, I really hope that you have a great weekend. And I really hope that you think I'm doing my job. I know Eric Tech's doing his, but... I hope you think that I'm living up to what I need to do. And like for today, bringing on Derek Evans, a man who needs to be in office. Oh, I've got plans, folks. I've got more plans than I can really share with you, or that I have time to share with you about what's going to be taking place here with this platform over the next several days. Because here's the issue. In case you didn't know, they're coming after us. They want to shut this platform down. And they are going to take steps to do just that. I ask that you pray. You don't have to do anything. I mean, pray. Because we're going to need your prayers in the coming days, in the coming weeks and months. We're going to need your prayers because they're coming after us. We've been explicitly told that. They want to see my sorry butt in jail for a number of things, which I won't get into, but it's all my rights as an American citizen. Speak out, to stand up, And even if required to lead the charge against this communist Marxist takeover of our country. If it's the last thing I do, that's what I'm going to do. And I won't let you down. May God bless you. Thanks for tuning in.